Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach, and I don't know if you know what that is, but if you asked five different relationship coaches what they're about, you'd probably get five different definitions. That's just the nature of my industry. But when I chose the title of my show, The Power of Synergy, I thought, you know, people need to know about synergy in relationships. It's the only real way to have success. But what is synergy? That's kind of a rare word. You don't hear that in daily life. So if you look in a dictionary, the definition you'll get is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. You know what? The total is greater than the sum of its parts. We can understand that in math. You know, no, actually, that contradicts addition. That's exponents. That's powers. The power of synergy means when we come together, we are more than more. When we get together, when we have a relationship, when we spend time together, when we're in the same physical space with each other, we become more powerful than what we are when we're apart. And you know what? The truth is, power comes with responsibility. Responsibility comes with accountability. Usually in my shows, what I like to talk about are topics that, you know, people who want to make themselves better people with people, for people. They want practical information. As a relationship coach, I don't agree with the self-help, mental health, psychology industry because all they do is blow a lot of smoke. They never give you real, specific, substantive answers to your questions. If you hire me as a coach, as a personal relationship coach, yeah, I kind of charge a lot of money. But if you just have a question and you want to ask me, you can go ahead and call in to the show. The number is 888-627-6008. But let me give you a heads up. This show is going to be about something pretty important. And, well, it's a little controversial. It's about the synergy of the power when women come together. Yeah, women. I'm going to be talking about female power today. And what we are when we come together as women, what we are when we get together with men is powerful. And again, when we're talking about the responsibility that comes with that power, that also demands accountability. But when we get together, who are we accountable to? You know what? It's unfortunate, but feminism really did distort what our accountability is. Who are we responsible to? Who are we responsible for? As independent women, we've made a lot of progress in society. Yeah, we definitely know how to get our stuff together. We know how to get things done. We're confident. We're successful. We're independent. But you know what? It's actually blurred a lot of lines that we were never worried about before, that we never had any questions about before. It was pretty clearly defined what our roles in society were, what our expectations were. But you know what? Starting out in women's suffrage, there was a very important meeting that happened. You know what? The middle of the 1800s, there was a two-day convention where women said, we need to get this, we need to fix this, we need to make the situation better. Women need to vote. We need to be seen in the world as a very powerful element, valuable force that we are, and we need to be treated a certain way. Yeah, definitely. That was the beginning of everything getting better for women in society. You know what? The origins of women's suffrage, that was the foundation of feminism as a social movement. But you know what? In the 1900s, when things really started to take off in a more widespread way, things started to become confusing for people, men and women, because other issues got involved in these topics. And I've always told people, when you have a topic, there's also an issue. There's maybe a problem that was created, but there has to be a solution. We can talk all day about everything we want, but ask yourself, what do you truly believe about women? We've been bombarded with so much information from society, from the media, from the people that we spend our days with, that we go to school and to work with. We have books, we have media, so many websites now, magazine articles. Yeah, books, we got a lot of self-help books, but they don't agree. There's so many different opinions that confuse us. What happened, we ended up being told, and I want you to know I'm Generation X. I was born in 1976. I grew up with a baby boomer mother. You know what? It was so much by the time I came around, equality, equality, equality. We're not equal. You know why? Because we don't have enough in common to compare ourselves to each other. Men and women have the same value in the world, but we don't have any right to compare ourselves to each other simply because we are so different. And I'm going to give the phone number out a couple more times throughout the show because, again, since I usually only go through a few topics, I'm going to be going through probably about 40 different ones, all related to this theme, in the next 40 minutes. So again, the number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so starting out, there was a movie, I think it was in the 90s, no, it was probably in the early 2000s, called Jerry Maguire. And you know what? It was very popular because it had some very good actors. There was a scene where a man was in an elevator with Renee Zellweger and Tom Cruise, but he was talking to a woman and he was signing. He was deaf. So in sign language, he actually said to the woman something that really got her excited. And as I got out of the elevator, Tom Cruise said, I wonder what he said. And Renee Zellweger said, I took sign language for a little bit. He said, "You complete me." And at the end of the movie, of course, that's something so beautiful. Tom Cruise ended up saying it to her, "You complete me." Yeah, if a woman had said that to a man, that would have been very controversial because you know what? Suffrage, feminism, yeah, we don't need a man. Why in the world do we need a man to complete us? But when a man said it to a woman, wow, it was very romantic, wasn't it? Because, yeah, men need women, right, to complete them. Well, come on. When we grow up seeing things like that, hearing things like that, do we need each other or are we sufficient without each other? That's a huge, big question mark going through our minds. We want to relate to each other. We want to be together in a work setting, in a social setting, in a romantic way, but we don't know how to see each other, mostly because we don't know how to see ourselves. Now, I got to tell you guys this joke. It's a great joke. My son, I think he was actually 12 when he told it to me. So I've been repeating this around for about 26 or 16 years now. I think he's 28. No. I think, hold on, first of all, let me get this. Okay, my technology is being moody. And this is good because this is a computer's gender joke. The Spanish teacher was explaining to the class that in Spanish, words are feminine or masculine. El, a lot of you have to put an article in front of them. Well, it's an adult class, and one of the men raises his hand and says, "Is it el computador or la computadora?" And she said, well, kind of smiling, she said, "Do you think it's more like a man or a woman?" And he said, you know what? I withdraw the question. Never mind. And she said, "No, you know what? We're going to go ahead and have a little game with this. Men are over here, women over there. Think about it. Talk it out. You tell me if you think this thing is more like a guy or a gal." And the men were whispering to each other, and they actually got out a pen and paper, and they started writing stuff down. And she got nervous. She said, "You know, stop. What are you doing? What are you writing there? You want to tell me what you have written down?" And they said, "Oh yeah, no, we're making a list here. This thing is such a chick. It's not even funny." And she goes, "Okay, why don't you go ahead and read off what you have listed there?" And they said, we got four reasons why this thing's a woman. Number one, only their creator understands their logic. Number two, they speak a language only they can interpret. Number three, they store every mistake you ever make in long-term memory for future retrieval. And number four, you never stop buying accessories for them. And all she could say was, oh my God, that's awesome. That was great. Ladies, I'm dying here. I'm drowning. Save me. And they said, no, this thing's a guy. We'll tell you why. We got four reasons too. Number one, they won't do anything for you if they're not turned on. Number two, you can give them information all day long. They're still not going to think for themselves. Number three, they claim to be able to solve any problem you give them. And you know what? In real life, when push comes to shove, they're usually the damn problem. And most importantly, number four, you know, if you had just waited 6 months, you could have had a better one. Okay, now, two things that I like about that joke. Number one, yeah, we don't need technology and we usually hate it more than we love it. But number two, we really don't like each other. As men and women, we have a lot more complaints than compliments about each other. And especially because, like I said, this is like a early 2010, right? Kind of society perspective. We just like to fight about everything. And I really think that started in the 2000s. You know, we have our independence and our thoughts and our opinions and our expressions and our freedom of expression. But really, I think the turn of the century, it became, we just love to fight with each other over anything, over nothing, for nothing, because it's our right to fight. Well, come on, guys, when are we really going to have a good time if we're going to continue fighting about everything? And again, the number, if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, 888-627-6008. Okay, so now there are a lot of ways that we can insult each other. Yeah, just tongue in cheek. It's a joke. It's for fun. But you know what? After a certain time, it's not funny anymore. We don't need to do that. But unfortunately, technology is in fact what has undermined our communication with each other. We do not communicate the way that we used to anymore. Think about this. Now, I belong to a ministerial training school where we talk about things like how to write a presentation, how to give a presentation, how to talk to people, whether they're face to face or whether they're in an audience. Things like sense, dress, and modulation, volume, and pausing, intonation, inflection. We don't have any of that with our cell phone, with our computer. How much of our conversation is just words? No, only about 10, 15% maybe. The rest of it is our body. It's our voice. It's our face, the way we move, the way we feel, our synergy when we physically come together. We don't have that with technology. So when we have our ability to relate to each other undermined, then we also are defective when we communicate. Because again, let's just talk strictly about the words. Our brain thinks at a rate of about 200 words a minute because we don't think in words. We think in concepts. Then we only express on a good day, if we're very extroverted, right? 180 of those words. 20 of those words are missing. Well, you want to make it worse? We only hear about 150 to 160. So we're missing out on 20 to 30 of those words that we are being told. Okay, so now what we're basically thinking, how do we keep up with what we're saying? How do we understand what we're saying? We have to take a lot of time and effort to get that communication. Well, you know what? How much do we read? We only read about 80 to 100 words a minute. How fast do we type? Well, we only type about 50 to 60 on a keyboard. We only text about 20 to 30. And you know what? Unfortunately, autocorrect gets everything wrong. How ironic is that? So when we have to be together, it's vitally important not only that we have a good attitude, but that we have good energy. We have skills. We have social skills. You know what? Unfortunately, a lot of the information that I was given as a young girl, I was born again in 76, so I grew up primarily in the 80s. Now, thinking about this, I had a lot of television, I had a lot of songs, I had a lot of movies, I had magazines, I had a lot of different sources of social interaction. My mother was very social with her sisters, and yeah, there were no brothers, so all I had were women around me all the time. I was told a lot of garbage, a lot of BS. The media's lies that I listened to actually were, exacerbated by the things that I was hearing, the people, the women around me actually saying, making it worse. The media's lies, a couple of them, I got five of them here. Okay. Girls just want to have fun. That was actually a song. Okay. What that meant was we don't want to be responsible. We don't want to do work. We don't have to do anything that's difficult. We just want to be like guys. We want to go out and have pleasure without responsibility. And yeah, we can sleep around because men can sleep around too. There was a song actually from a man, a group, England Dan and John Ford Coley. I'd really love to see you tonight. Yeah, I'm not talking about moving in, and I don't want to change your life. There's a warm wind blowing, the stars are out, and I'd really love to see you tonight. Well, basically, TV shows were saying, hey, you want to go ahead and just have a cheap one-night stand? I can do that. You've been doing it to me for forever. Let me just go ahead and do it to you. Okay. You know what? You don't have any sex after you get married. That's what you have to do, because this is another lie I heard. You're only going to have a good sex life while you're dating, because the minute that you marry a man, he's looking around for someone else. Because you do know that all men are pigs, right? All they want is to sleep around. They want to stick their little thingy into anything and everything that they can. And once they know they have you, they're not interested in you anymore, because they're all just stupid pigs. Oh my God. Okay. Well, one of the things that I heard in a movie called Baby Boom, literally in the beginning of the movie, was women are taking over the workforce. The actual working population is now 53% women. We used to marry lawyers. Now we are lawyers. And then the last thing was, you know what? I can go ahead and run a Fortune 500 company and have a baby and own my acres and sell this baby food. And I don't need a man. Men are optional and certainly not necessary. Are you serious? All of these things that I was being told in television shows, in songs, in movies, I didn't know what was real and what wasn't. I just took for granted that everything that they were saying to me was true. What did that do? Well, you know what? Unfortunately, the women in my family had very bad experiences with their father. Yeah, he was a bad man. So not only did I hear that from a sort of externally constantly perpetuating propaganda source, but when I was getting together with my mom and her sisters and we were having a barbecue or a really nice dinner, the things that I heard women say, I'm going to try and behave myself when I say this, okay? You know, when you get pregnant, you get fat and you get ugly, and kids make you fat and ugly because you never get any sleep because you're constantly tired, and that just turns you into a bitch. Well, who in the world would ever want to have children? Obviously, we're the worst thing that will ever happen to a woman. How do you think that made me feel growing up? Knowing that all the women, my mother and my aunt, just felt like their lives would be so much better if we had never been born. Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? And you know how men are. As my mother and her sisters were talking without any men around, they only have enough blood for one head at a time, which is kind of what that joke was saying, right? Won't do anything until they're turned on. And once they get a hard on, you know what? They turn stupid. So obviously you either have to deal with a stupid man or you just don't ever get them to the state where, you know what? Their brain goes down. Just don't ever do anything to get them that way. What? Okay. Okay. You know what? I don't know how many of you ladies out there heard that too, but that is very unfortunate. Now, another thing they said was, well, you know, men only want skinny, beautiful women. Again, because they're just pigs. So if you're not skinny and beautiful, you'll never get a man. Well, but you know, you don't ever really need a man. But, you know, you obviously you need to get the good surgery, and you have to get the good clothes and the hair and the jewelry and the makeup, because, you know, men really aren't going to want anything that's not aesthetically pleasing to them. Okay. Sorry, that's wrong too. And then another one, and this I think probably hurt me the most, because it was so unnecessary to be told. But again, things like this movie said, well, women are the competition, men are the enemy. Okay, so that means you have to be suspicious of their intentions and their motivation, right? Okay, what is it that they really are out for? And you have to be ready, kill or be killed. It is a survival of the fittest. Okay, so then that kind of spilled over into barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen. Any woman who's barefoot, pregnant, in the kitchen isn't a real woman. All right. Okay, you know what? I don't know if anybody out there has an opinion about what I've said, but I'm going to be getting into some other pretty important topics here. And the number is 888-627-6008. Oh, and I'm also going to let my listeners know that if you have a question after the show, because the show is archived, you can go ahead and email me at bbsradio.thepowerofsynergy@gmail.com. And I always read the emails. If anyone wants to talk about something on my next show, please don't hesitate to send it to me in a message. Okay, so now we're talking about how women can be amazing people when we're not in a bad mood, honestly. And I love that in a movie with John Cusack, when he says to his sister, because obviously she's having a bad hair day, right? Okay. He said, just get in a good mood. How hard is it just to decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood? And she got this little look on her face and she said, gee, it's easy. Like, that's a stupid question. And then, but think about this. How hard really is it? If you know how, as a woman, if you know what to do for yourself to get yourself back in good spirits, wouldn't you do that? How often do we just genuinely not know how to take good care of ourselves to the point where, yeah, we're in a good mood again, in spite of anything that may have happened? Okay, so yeah, let's think about this. Honestly, I talk very openly about sex. I'm very liberal in the things that I say and do and believe. And when I counsel people, when I coach them in that topic, I'm very direct. And you know what? It's not easy, but it is very simple in principle. We reproduce so we don't die, literally. But sex is not just about performing a function. It's about creating pleasure with and to and for each other. We have a lot of organs. We have a lot of opportunities. We have a lot of functions to create quality bonding time with each other as we're reproducing, to solidify the quality of what we're doing when we come together. And again, that stupid lie that, you know what, after you get married, you never have sex again. That's not true. And you know what? Men actually love to be with their wife, and they want their wife. If women are in a good mood, men are going to want to be with them all the time, because, yeah, they really do like women. And one of the things that, again, as a joke, I saw in a movie. Now, this was in the 90s. It was in the movie called Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. She was... Christina Applegate was walking out of the office with her boss, and her boss said, yeah, go ahead, just go home, put some cucumber slices on your eyes and have a drink and wake up tomorrow a refreshed woman. And Christina goes, well, sorry, I'm all out of cucumbers. And her boss said, you know, every girl over 25 should have a cucumber in the house. Okay, well, I didn't know what that meant until over time. Okay, so we got a self-pleasure, because you know what? This is another thing. Men are optional now. We got a lot of technology doing a lot of things for us that we needed men for before. Yeah, we don't need it anymore. In fact, it was literally in one of my favorite shows, unfortunately, disappointed me. Dharma takes her mother-in-law, in Dharma and Greg, to a sex shop, and her mother-in-law says, wow, what is this? And what would Edward and I do with this? And she says, oh, well, Kitty, you know, with this, Edward would be optional. Okay, you know what? That's not funny, because honestly, not being with a person that you love really doesn't make your relationship any better. We do have the constitution to do a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. But when we have an attitude of, I don't need you, the synergy becomes negative. There is no neutral energy. And this is something that I preach all the time to friends and family and colleagues and clients. If you do not have positive energy, you have negative energy. And when you are indifferent, when you don't care, that's actually negative energy. So when you have someone in your life that you care about and that cares about you, and you basically go to that person and say, you know what, you're optional in my life. Do you honestly think that's going to do that person any good? Do you think it's going to do you any good to say to them, I don't need you? You know what? We need to be needed. So when the sexual revolution happened, and then independence happened, and then the mass change in the workforce happened, and yeah, you know what? Sperm banks made men very replaceable, very easily replaceable. I don't even have to be with a man. All I have to do is buy his little swimmers. And then we can genetically engineer things with technology, with computers, with machines. So I don't even need to worry about how or when or why it's done. The computers will do all the thinking for me. And the people who sit in a lab coat will do all of the work. Okay, well, you know what? Okay, so what that basically taught me was, it used to be you fall in love and then you get married and then you have sex. Well, now it's you have sex, then you decide if you're gonna fall in love, if you want to do the work for love, and then you decide if you want to commit to a marriage, because, you know, again, that's really when things start going downhill, when you get married. If you have any questions or comments, you can go ahead and give me a call. The number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so back to that really great movie, Say Anything, when we're talking about, well, how do we do this? Do we sleep together and then decide if we're right for each other and then get married? Or do we make a commitment till death do us part and then enjoy sex as a blessing, as icing on the cake? Well, you know what? He went to his best friend, who happened to be a girl, after he slept with the girl he was in love with. And he said, you know, it's fine. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And she said, wait a minute, Lloyd, let's just stop right here. Everything has changed. You may be 50. You may be walking down the street and just see her and say hi. Yeah, small talk. But what you'll really be thinking is, we had sex. And he said, what's the point? You know what? The point is, that is our soul. We do love to love, love. And we express ourselves through our bodies in that very powerful way. But that's power. We have a lot of influence over each other. Power comes with responsibility. Responsibility demands accountability. You have to be very aware of what you're doing with sex. And again, now, this is one of the best ones. I love this movie for this scene. But there's basically one of my other favorite movies is, it's just a man and a woman literally talking for 2 hours. When Harry Met Sally, and they were sitting at a table in a restaurant, and she said, how do you know she hasn't faked it? And he said, I would know. And she goes, really? How would you know? You don't think a woman's ever faked it? And he said, of course not. I wouldn't know if she was faking it, obviously. Orgasm. And she said, yeah, and it took about 2 minutes, but man, she was good. By the time she was done, she had a full-blown orgasm there at the table in the middle of the restaurant. And then as she was done, she picked up her spoon and she kept eating her little ice cream. And he just had this look on his face like, wow. Yeah, we can fake orgasm. Sure we can. You know what? We can fake a lot of things. And it was funny. It was funny because how many women just because we have that ability and we have that power. And that's how important sex really is to men and women. Sometimes we just have to fake it to make him go away. Because you know what? Men do care. They actually want us to be happy and satisfied and gratified because they love it and they want us to love it. Are you willing to tell a man what you need? Your husband, and do the work. You know what? I've been married 29 years. I literally just had my anniversary a few weeks ago. And yeah, we're still having some really good stuff going on. And but over 29 years, I have changed probably 5 times and he's changed probably 7. A few of them were for physiological reasons. Some of them were for psychological reasons. Some of them were for social reasons. Yeah, you change over time and you have to spend time getting to know yourself and getting to know the person that you love. You do owe it to yourself and that other person to share in an experience that will be fulfilling and satisfying and rewarding for you both. And the number again, if you have any questions or comments, is 888-627-6008. And my producer, Don, he's a really fun guy. He's actually really nice to talk to. Sometimes I just like to talk to him because again, this is another thing. There are some quality men out there who can say, yeah, I think you're a beautiful woman and still treat you with respect. I really do appreciate men out there, like my producer, like the elders in my congregation when I was a little girl, my best friend who is a man, my husband who is okay with my best friend being a man. We have a lot of good things going on in the world. There's a lot of garbage going on in the world that distracts us and confuses us. So we don't always know what's in front of us. But if we stop and take time to say, through all of this other clutter, there are a few good things we can find in the work to, there it is. And then actually invest the time and energy to make it come to fruition. There are different things that we need to do with two for ourselves and then with two for each other. Let me just tell you now for a few minutes what I think about Generation X. That started basically in the 70s, was through the 70s and the 80s. What I had to deal with and what I had to experience, but it was confusing for me. There was a very popular self-help industry kind of mantra: put the mask on yourself first. Now, when you're on an airplane, and you have to go through that in the event of an emergency, a mask will come down from the, okay. And what they always say is if you're traveling with a small child or someone who has special needs, make sure you put the mask on yourself first. That way you will be more capable of taking care of that person. It's not being selfish, but we never learned how to take care of ourselves as women. What do we have to do? When and where and how do we do it? And really, more importantly, how can we make sure that what we are doing is not at the expense of other people? And again, when you are done taking care of yourself, are you truly in an improved state of performance? That's the question that was never answered in my generation. Number two. Technology is now the substitute for relationships. We can do anything that we want with artificial intelligence. That spilled over into parents and children, as well as husbands and wives, as well as extended family members, the people that we work with, the people we go to church with. Everybody in our life was optional. That's not fair. That was really hurtful to us as kids to have that. You know what? Women have now become just as bad as men. Number three, all of the things as a result of that, all of the things that we as women have been complaining about men, we're doing all of them too. Not only to men in reciprocity. Yeah, you know what? In vengeance, we're now doing them to each other as women. And that goes back to what I say all the time. Women are the competition. Men are the enemy. Well, you know what, ladies? Everything that you complain about men that you cannot stand, how often do you see or do women or see women doing or being just as bad as the men? You know what? Probably a lot more frequently than you realize, especially in the media, because social media, because now that we're not with each other face to face, we're not accountable for what we say and do. How many of the things that we say on technology would we say and do if we were face to face with whoever that person is that we are typing with? Yeah, you know what? I was actually, unfortunately, with a young man on a bus earlier this week, and we were talking a little bit about what I do as a coach and how, and I even just said, you know what, I think feminism has really undermined women because it's made us fight with men for no reason. The first thing he said, immediately, I couldn't even finish it. He's like, well, I respect all women. And I said, okay, do you know what? The way you said that, I think you're just afraid of us. Because respect, this is the fourth point, respect is not being afraid. When a man truly respects a woman, he's honest with her about his feelings. And he's very open about what he expects. And he treats her with the credit of being able to handle the truth. And that's the actual line I did like in the movie Jerry Maguire, when he's like, "You, oh no, sorry, that was A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth." How many people really and truly can't handle the truth because they get so hurt and offended and they're so worried about everybody getting upset about what they're saying? You know what? Yeah. If you respect someone, you genuinely do give them credit for the ability that they have to accept and work with the truth. Okay. And then another point is high maintenance. Yeah. That was kind of, again, sort of a joke. It was an insult, but kind of in a tongue-in-cheek way. If a woman is high maintenance, that means she's a lot of money. She takes a lot of time. She's very self-absorbed. She's very self-centered. Well, how about just, again, seeing good personal care as putting the mask on yourself? Maybe you need mentally or emotionally, maybe physically, to take care of yourself. Say to the people around you, look, I will improve, increase, augment my strengths and talents and abilities if I take good quality time for myself. One of the things, number six, that I heard a lot of my generation women say, well, he should know. If he loves me, I shouldn't have to tell him what I need. Do you know what that, you know what garbage that is? That is such a lie. Men don't know anything more than women do, especially about women, because we are so different. You cannot expect anyone to know something that you have not told them, that someone or something has not told them. And again, ladies, we are all very different. Even if he knew everything about the woman that he was with before you, he's not going to know you until you tell him. Number eight, okay, this is the one that Generation X, I think, didn't really get the bulk of. I think it actually got worse in my next generation, Generation Y. But we want to dress up and enhance our beauty, but then be seen as a man. We want to be treated as a man. Yes, that did kind of expand with feminism. We want to be treated like a man, so we wanted to be spoken to like a man. We want to be thought of as a man, but we want to be seen as a woman. We act like a woman. No, we don't act like a woman. We just dress and look like a woman. Well, what do you want? Do you actually appreciate being a woman? And are you insulted? That poor guy, when he said, I respect all women, he was like, just don't sue me. Just don't accuse me of sexual harassment if I say something nice to you about the way you look. Yeah, you know what? And this is the last point. Ladies, are you offended when a man compliments you as a woman? Do you assume that his intentions are selfish or they're destructive to you, something harmful to you, because they are, again, only selfish for him? How much, honestly, when you think about your energy, ladies, with men, is it positive or is it negative? And if it's negative, is it because You just genuinely don't trust men's intentions. And even when they say or do something that's nice to you, do you assume the worst about those intentions? And I'm just going to take a few minutes here. Again, the number is 888-627-6008. I had some fabulous men in my life. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories and a couple of kind of descriptions of men who were important to me. Number one, my father. He was an amazing man. I only got to see him every other weekend. So it was maybe 4 days a month. So we're talking maybe 50 days a year. The great thing was I got to call him whenever I wanted to. There were times when he would show up for my special events. I could be with him when I needed him in the way that I needed him, because he would do things differently for me than he would do for my sister. And I could talk to him anytime I wanted. You know what? And when he said something to me, it was insightful and it was helpful. One of the things my father said to me at a very young age, yes, it was my religion, but he didn't say it because God says this. And if you don't do it, you'll go to hell. He said, if a man loves you, he will wait. You are worth the wait. I knew from birth that I was worth the wait. And you know what? I could be a virgin when I got married. Yeah, I was a virgin when I got married because I knew for a fact that the man who was going to want to spend eternity with me would believe that I was worth that sacrifice. And yeah, you know what? I was definitely worth the wait. I'm not going to get into detail, but yeah, I was worth it. He definitely got the good return on his investment. Now, the elders in my congregation, they were great people. They saw the way my mother and her sisters were, and they saw the way that my situation was. I didn't have a dad in my life. It wasn't just a priest or a pastor in my congregation. They were the men who said, if you have questions, if you have concerns, you can come to us. You can be with us. We'll always have time for you. And they did. They always talked to me and they always answered my questions and they never judged me and they never labeled me and they never shamed me. Those are amazing men. Yes, the men has world. The world has men like that. And then we have, you know what, other men in my congregation, they were doing and saying and being things as an example to me with their wives. And they treated me like I was just as important as their own sons and daughters. That was an awesome thing for me to be around. I had no reason to be suspicious of men. And they were saying and doing and being things that were scripturally based. You know what? The Bible says that a man honors his wife and he takes excellent care of her. Yeah, it's nice to see men who respect and they honor and they cherish and they nurture their wives. The fact is, as I was raising my sons, I was around people like that. They had those examples. And my husband, yes, he's from the same religion, but he's from a different culture. He was an amazing man because he said and did some things that were, wow, unheard of by my peers and colleagues. And I can honestly say now, my children are 24, 26, and 28 years old. Two of the most important men in my life that I trust and respect are my sons. They're strong and intelligent and responsible and accountable for what they do. They really do care about paying the consequences for their actions and they don't try to get away with stuff. Oh yeah, they did as little kids. But as adults, because they had that good guidance and from me and the example from good men, they became amazing men. There are amazing men out there, ladies. You are worth the wait. And if you really do wait for the good ones, they are out there. They will come to you because you will draw them to you. The synergy that you create by the quality of your spirit is your soul. That's going to manifest in your life. So how did that manifest in my life? I'd like to tell you just a few of my own stories. And again, if you have a question or comment, the number is 888-627-6008. Okay. Now, first of all, again, I was told that men are stupid. Wrong. My husband came from a family of 15. He was number 8. He taught me how to cook. I didn't know how to cook. All I knew was stuff came out of a can or a box. You just add water or you put it in the microwave. Yeah, pork is really good stuff. I didn't know that until I married a Mexican. Number two, he asked me a tough question. Now, this was cool. We were dating, and he said, "Okay, so let me ask you a question. This is kind of a hypothetical situation. Let's say we were married for 10 years. I came home one night and I said, honey, I'm going to be honest with you. I made a mistake. I slept with a woman. I don't love her. I love you. It was stupid, but she came on to me, and honestly, I just couldn't say no. But we have a good marriage, and you love me and I love you. Can you please forgive me?" He said, "Would you forgive me?" I said, "Of course I would. First of all, you were honest with me. Second, if we have something good, I'm not going to throw it away because you were stupid once. And third, you know what? You're a Mexican man, so you can't keep it in your pants anyway. It's not a question of if you're going to be unfaithful. It's just a matter of when." And he said, "Wrong." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you don't ever accidentally slip into a woman and out and in and out and in. If a man is unfaithful, me especially, if I'm unfaithful to you, it's because I'm not with you anymore. You're never accidentally unfaithful. It's because your heart, my heart and mine would not be with you." And I said, "Wow, I've never heard a man say that." Okay. He actually is the one who taught me how to also take care of my home and my children. He taught me how to change diapers and take care of ill babies, bathe them. Yeah, really important things. These are things, honestly, that we need just as life skills, but also the pleasure of those things. Because again, feminism always taught me you need to have 2.5 children, and you know what? You need to have a job. So that basically means you need hired help. You need paid help. That's not true. You know, too, it was funny that we were at a restaurant and a woman actually asked us, "Are you two having an affair?" And just out of fun, because I was surprised, I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" And she said, "Because you both have wedding rings on, so I know you're both married, but you have way too much sexual energy and happiness and fun together. You couldn't possibly be married to each other." And I went, "That's crazy. She wasn't kidding." I said, "No, actually, we just had our 25th anniversary." And she said, "What, to each other, with each other? You've been married 25 years to each other?" And I said, "Yeah, we just like to have fun together." And she said, "Wow, you just inspired me that there is hope." And I said, "Well, good. I'm glad." But you know what? Honestly, again, I think that women genuinely believe that children ruin their marriage. No, I put the mask on myself. I tell my husband, "This is what I need. This is how you can take care of me. This is how you let me take care of myself. Then I take care of my husband, because as one, we are together. We have to be together." So here's the truth about kids. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or doubts about children, let me just tell you right now, a lot of what's out there in the media is wrong. It's blatant lies, flat out lies. Number one, children are some of the smartest people you'll ever know. Number two, children are not high maintenance. Number three, children are not spoiled by nature, and they're not selfish. They're actually really low maintenance people, and if you give them good quality, they don't need a high quantity. Okay, so I'm going to give you some stories. I only have a few minutes left, some fun stories. Number one, my daughter took me out one night because I couldn't get my head on straight. We ended up finding $816 on the ground in cash after we talked about something that I was really having a hard time with. And she said, "I'm really proud of you." That mattered. When you actually tell your children that their opinion counts and matters, that is the foundation for a strong relationship, because eventually you're going to be adults and you're going to have to be friends. Legitimate, not because you demanded respect. Number two, my middle son, my problem child, we had this really great sort of internal joke, this inside joke that we had, where he would say TWSS. That's what she said. Whenever someone would say something and it could be taken out of context as some kind of sexual joke, he would say, "That's what she said," kind of under his breath. And over time, it got to the point where people wouldn't know what he was saying. He would just say TWSS and then walk away and we would laugh. Got to the point where even as a teenager, all he would have to do is turn around and look at me. And he knew that I knew that he knew that I knew what he was thinking. You know what? Priceless. I love that he made me laugh. My oldest son, he took care of his brother and sister like they were his own children. One day I came home from work and he was telling his friend, yeah, my mom's a shrink. My mom's a shrink. And I said, baby, you've got to stop telling people I'm a shrink. I am not a shrink. And he just turned around, looked at me and he said, Mom, you're the worst kind of shrink. You're a shrink in denial. I said, you know what? I think you just became my favorite child. I don't have any favorites because I love all my kids the same, but that was awesome. You know what? By the time my daughter came along, my two sons basically said, Mom, we've got this covered. We'll let you know when we need you. I loved that my babies loved each other. The bottom line is gender conflict is not necessary. Men will be your friend if they know from the get-go that you will never have sex with them. They will know that they don't have to have that as a pursuit on their mind. Kids can handle the truth. You can live simply. You can be worth the wait for a relationship, and personalities don't change our biology as genders. We do not have to compete with each other. Understanding that synergy is accountability, we have to have that understanding and appreciation for our power. As women, we can be the source of the cause that creates an effect. And since there is no neutral energy, what we are feeling, what we are thinking are both going to affect how we behave. And how we behave around men is very, very important because we need to understand we are not competition. We do not have to be suspicious of each other's motivations or intentions. And when we know, honestly, ladies, we know that men are very simple creatures. We can do a lot of things like, you know what? Again, we have this card that we can pull out of our back pocket, sex. Yes, we can manipulate men through sex. But one of my favorite scriptures is actually, hold on, I write down, it is Proverbs, here we go. Proverbs 25:24. Look this up. It's better to sleep on the corner of a roof than with a contentious wife. Don't be naggy. Don't be contentious. Don't fight for no reason. You have the opportunity to create peace in your life. Use your feminine power, your female power and ability to know that what you say and what you do is going to have an exponential effect on a man if he loves you. You know what? Men are always going to be affected by you, but if they love you, even more. Be prepared to give twice what you ask for and do the work before you ask for the reward. Again, my name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy. If you have any comments or questions, go ahead and email me at thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. The number to the station is 888-627-6008. And my show now is only on every other week. So keep in mind that if you want to call in, this is going to be the time and day. Thank you for listening to The Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.